Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Off the heels of a wonderful Houston Dynamo win 4-1 last night over San Jose, puts him in fourth in the West. He is the Dynamo general manager. It's perfect timing at the midway point of the season to catch up with Pat Onstad. Pat, thank you for coming on as always.
No, thanks for having me. It's always perfect timing. Doesn't matter if we're in last or in first. We'll take it.
Well, we always get a lot of good bump on the radio show when you're on because you are really open and honest with what you say, and we really appreciate it. Well, let's just first just talk about the kind of the newfound attack and the goals coming in here and maybe the timing of Nelson Quiñones and Aliu Ibrahim in the starting lineup.
Yeah, I think, for us, it's funny. It is. We got some players that have now kind of stepped up and we can talk about them. But I also want to give credit to Ben Olsen and his coaching staff. You know, we certainly wanted to make sure defensively we were strong, and we worked on that early in the season. And I think we've, outside of the Vancouver game, we've been pretty successful defensively. But the reality is we knew our offense, we didn't have a clear way of how we were going to score goals, and we're still defining that. But I think you can see now with Nelson Quiñones and Ibrahim Aliu, who stretches the back line. I think our second goal is a great example of that last night against San Jose, where Bossy plays a fantastic ball behind the line. Nelson Quiñones has great speed, goes, puts in a great cross in, and now we have Ibrahim crashing the box. We have Corey Baird at the back post, and there was actually one more, and I can't remember who it was. It might have been Franco Escobar was behind him. So you've got guys now that are hungry to get in the box, and that's something that our coaching staff has worked on for probably the last six to eight weeks has been a real focus. And I think in the Vancouver game, ironically, we've given up six that game, is that's when we actually started seeing like our offense come to life. And it's nice to see.
Yeah, no question. I was going to put a circle around that. You beat me to it. But that was the night where you were like, wow, you know, with these two young guys, they didn't hit the score sheet necessarily. But boy, the work that they do, you have to think as defenders, right? I mean, you with all your years in goal, that works over defenders. That takes a lot of life out of them having to deal with these two guys.
Yeah, I think just the speed, it forces the defense to drop. That's the reality. And then now it creates more space for, you know, Bossy, for Coco Garcia, who's obviously gone with the Gold Cup. But, you know, for Hector, for Artur, now they're maybe man for man instead of maybe overloading the midfield with three defenders. They've got to be careful, and they've got to drop a little deeper and protect their back four. So just having that threat of guys running behind really makes a difference. The irony is I think we'd hoped we had that a little bit more from Corey Baird, but I think he needed to see the example. And now with Nelson and Ibrahim, you saw last night Corey did a great job of stretching the line and running behind and getting at the defender one-on-one. I think it's no surprise, really, that he's kind of come to life now this part of the season.
We got to give Corey Baird a lot of credit, right? Because, you know, he pushed out a couple good games at the end of last year. He was taking a lot of criticism because the team overall wasn't scoring, not just him. You re-signed him. Great intuition on your part. And you've really stuck with him. And we know he is a guy of strong character, but it's great to see him turn in the corner with goals as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think for us, we took a bit of a calculated gamble. We didn't actually really resign him. We picked up his option. He'll be a free agent at the end of the year. And that remains to be seen. I think we've got another 16 games to see where that plays out. But he took a, I wouldn't say a chance on us as well. He's got a lot to play for this year. It's important for him to play for a new contract, you know, score some goals, get some assists. So if he wants to continue to increase his contract, you know, he knows that. And I give him credit, actually, is walking in here and saying, I'm willing to do that. I want to play for a new deal, and I want to show you that I'm worth it. So I'll give him credit. I don't think it's always gone his way early in this year. And being able to get another person like Nelson or Ibrahim to be able to stretch it, I think helps him and gives him a little bit more space and ability to show what he can do offensively.
He's a Dynamo general manager, Pat Onstad. Let's go back to Nelson Quiñones, because everybody knows he's in a loan, and you know everybody's out there, hey, you got to re-sign him. I don't think it's as easy as that, right? Because you still have to negotiate. But
yeah,
what can you tell us?
Yeah, we have an option on him that takes place in about a month from now, in the middle of July, a little bit later, in third week in July. And for us, it's a pretty big price tag to pick him up. He really hasn't produced a ton yet for us, but you can see definitely he's on the upswing now. Like, it seems like it took him a while. It took him 5 months to kind of win the trust of this coaching staff to be able to do it. It was a little disappointing, the start of the season for him. He also had some personal things going on back home that we actually weren't aware of until really just maybe in the last couple of months that were probably made a little more sense to what was happening with him. So I think he's in a much better headspace and a lot more comfortable with the group here. Part of it is too, he's learning the language slowly but surely. He's kind of fitting in, and our group around him is better as well. So I think that's helped. The coaching staff, again, I could give them some more credit, is that they've worked with him tirelessly. And I think now it's finally starting to sink in, but it'll be a big decision for us. I think what we'd like in a perfect world would be able to try to look at him for another 6 months and then make a decision at the end of the season. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's going to work out. So we've got some work to do.
So extending the loan, though, is a possibility if that's negotiated out with this club.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean, anything's on the table, you know, a reduced rate. If we wanted to, extending a loan, actually letting him go and bringing someone else in. For us, and I'll get into this now, is for us with our roster and where we're at, is we have one more YPS slot that's open, but our roster spots are filled up. So for us to bring someone in, we most likely have to move someone out. And that could be Nelson, just essentially saying, okay, that's it. We're going to part ways. We're not going to bring him back or extend the loan or buy him outright. And then in which case, we're going to bring someone in. But you know, it's difficult in our league. I think a lot of teams will tell you that at this time of year, to bring someone in and hope they hit the ground running and make an impact is tricky. And then also to do that with a YPS player, that's what the type of player we'd have to bring in the cap, is probably even more difficult. You're asking a 19, 20, 21-year-old kid to come in and hit the ground running. I mean, I think we've been very fortunate with Ibrahim Aliyu to be able to come in and hit the ground running like he has and been very successful. You know, I'm sure he probably would like a few more goals with the first team, but he's getting in dangerous spots, and I think that's the biggest thing. So it's hard with a young kid to come in and hope that he's going to make the difference for your team.
Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad. Pat, what else can you tell us about your ideas in the transfer window, you know, without revealing too much?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit on it there. We don't have a lot of cap space or manipulation or even roster space. We're over the limit really on internationals. We play a bit of international juggling every weekend with our second team sending guys down and whatnot. But for us, the bigger one is probably the Nelson Quiñones decision. And then we can talk about the elephant in the room. And that's probably the one thing that'll, if we do find a solution there, then that might be where we can do something.
Should we talk about the elephant in the room right now?
I'll let you lead.
I mean, you knew it was coming at some point. But, you know, Sebas Ferreira had a great season last year. What we sense is it's not a tactical fit. So what are you going to do with a DP that's your big money guy?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, right? And these are the battles that we probably do have with our coaching staff. You know, you want a player that's playing, and it's much easier, obviously, to move someone on when he's playing and he's still showing that he can play at that level. It's tough to explain to clubs why a player isn't playing. But to your point, it's really more about tactics. And to give Sebastian credit, who's been really frozen out of the lineup for the first 17 games of the year, half the season, as he still comes to training, he puts in a good shift. He's been a good guy in the locker room. He's been a good teammate. You could even see that last night when Thor scored, you know, he's right there giving him a hug. So like those are moments, you know, that you have to give the player respect. It's a lot easier just to pack it in and, you know, throw up the middle finger to the whole group. And he hasn't done that. So that says something about him as a character. But for us, he wants to be playing. He's told us that. For us, we need to find a solution to try to make sure that he does play.
Do you think that solution comes within Major League Soccer? Because I would think he would have appeal to some clubs.
Yeah, he probably would. The tricky part right now is he's a designated player, and trading designated players is very difficult in our league. We haven't quite got to the point where we have an internal transfer market. Once we get there, I think he becomes a lot easier to move a guy like that around. And to be honest, it would probably make our, my job a lot easier here to be able to just turn around and try to find. I'm sure there's four or five teams here that say he scored 13 goals. He'll score 15 to 17 with me. That's all. A lot of teams would probably look at him. But the difficult part is how do you move a DP and still try to recoup as much of your investment as possible?
Yeah, look, you're a caring guy. You've been through difficult situations in your career. You've seen it all at all different levels. You've seen the growth of the professional game to the point we're at now. I mean, yeah. You've seen it all through your lens. I know you have compassion for a guy who's in a situation like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's a human being. It's a human being. I mean, I'm a sports fan too. I look at baseball players and I cheer the Astros. Oh, why isn't he playing? And he makes so much money. But I'm also, in the end, they're human beings. We're all human beings. And that's why the first thing I'm talking about is saying this guy's going through a hard time. And to be fair to him, he's putting on as brave a face as possible. It knocks your ego down. It's difficult. It's hard to take. And I've had moments of that in my career. Certainly when Dominic Kinnear came to me and said, "Pat, I think you're done." And fair enough, I was 42 years old, coming off not a great season. If I had to be truthful to myself, which of course as a player you're not, but those are hard moments to swallow. So Sebastian's still young. He's still got a great future ahead of him. And for us, it's our job to try to find a good solution and hopefully a solution that he's happy with and his, his agency group is happy with as well. So we're all working together to try to find that. And the thing is, what I would say, and that's what we keep telling tell players till I'm blue in the face, is things change so quickly in this game. Sebastian right now is not in, but all it takes is an injury here, an injury there, an opportunity, and he bangs in two goals like Thor did last night, and all of a sudden we're talking about Sebastian Ferreira as our starting striker. So there's lots of there will always be opportunity for a kid like him and his abilities. So it's just about defining the right fit now.
The target was playoffs. Has that changed now? Is it
no,
playoffs and targets, being the top four? I mean,
target's still playoffs. I mean, it would be nice top four. Obviously, you get a little more say in terms of playing at home. And we've done a great job of making Shell Energy Stadium, our fortress. So, but our goal is playoffs, and we're not taking our eye off of that prize. That's our goal, I think, for this franchise, for Ted Siegel, for our front office group, for the fans that have stuck beside us and, through thick and thin. This is important. It's important for us to be there, important for us to be relevant when the postseason comes around. I actually like our group when we get in the postseason. I don't care where we finish, but I like our group. We have a bit of resiliency this year. We have some grit. Got to get a little better on the road, but I think the performance, in Chicago helped give the guys the belief, and we could walk into LA and win 1-0 in what was a really gritty road game. And that's how we're going to have to get results in the road. And I thought it was good for our group. We're in a good place right now.
Three in a row for the Houston Dynamos during that time period. It's what, 9-2, I think, over the three games.
Boy, 9-1, right? We've been 9-1. Cut out LA, right? Yeah. Yeah.
So, it's amazing in this league. You whip off three wins in a row, and it's just like all of a sudden, it's like you're competing for number one in the West.
It's
unbelievable.
Crazy. It's crazy. I mean, I think we were pretty nervous coming off of the Vancouver St. Louis games, that now we're playing LA back to back, which we know is a very good team, and they're still an excellent team. We probably caught them at a good time. We also put in two fantastic performances. So while we're playing LA, I don't care if you took the hottest team in the league. I think in those two games, we're figuring out a way to get results. So that was nice to see our group kind of take that next step forward. And I think the Chicago game away from home, which was a US Open Cup quarterfinal, for us to go and really dominate in Chicago on their field, I think gave us that confidence going into those two LA games. And then you saw it last night. It's just continued over. It doesn't hurt to be up 2-0 after 5 minutes, but That was a great performance and a great result last night as well.
Well, what struck me is how alive the team is under Ben Olsen and his coaching staff. And when I say him, I'm including the entire coaching staff. But you guys just seemed so alive last night, and you know, sharpness, the ball leaving people's feet, you know, despite the conditions, it was really something to see.
Yeah, I mean, that's real heat. Last night it was 109 at kickoff. It feels like temperature, and I think the heat index was something like 119 or something. It was insane. But our guys hung in there and kept going at it. You know, I think. Yeah, I thought you have to give San Jose some credit. I think they made a good adjustment to kind of squeeze one more up and basically mark Artie man for man in the buildup after the water break in the first half. We struggled really to kind of gain possession. I thought our guys, and we were talking about it after, we took our foot off the gas with a 2-0 lead early on and probably could have just gone for the jugular at that time. So it's something we learned from, continue forward. But after a two-hour delay, I mean, I give our guys credit. That's... You never know what come out, and our guys came out flying after that. I mean, I thought even though, you know, we didn't get two goals till kind of late, we were you could tell we were the team that were going to keep the 3 points. It was really, really impressive performance.
Dynamo general manager Pat Onstad, the Dynamo again. It's 3 in a row for them on the road at Austin FC this weekend. By the way, you can hear the local call right here on ESPN 97.5 as we continue to follow the Dynamo around all season and bring you the broadcast, myself and Bobby Boswell, very much enjoying it. Those are fun games to call like last night. We don't mind the two-hour wait when we get to see goals like that. Yeah. So I want to go to the aesthetics because being in Houston since 1984, knowing the international nature of the soccer fan here, winning is important, no question, but style and substance along with it. You know, we have a lot of Hispanic fans from Central America, Mexico, yep. South America, you know, the 1-2s, the combination play. This is something we haven't seen in a long time in Houston.
No, I mean, I certainly don't think we did that very much when I was playing here. I think we were a little more direct, get the ball wide, get the ball in the box with some guys. We had some big bodies and stuff. And we were, what I would say, what I think of those teams and the team we have now is I thought both teams are pretty gritty defensively. Like both teams are willing to roll up their sleeves and defend. So I do like that part of it. I'm a goalkeeper, so of course I would. But what I love about the way our team plays is that we try to keep possession and we try to build through the middle of the field. You know, I think when Coco's here and we got Hector and Artur and then you bring Bassi in, we try to play kind of with a box midfield and we've done a really good job. Breaking teams down. San Jose, for the most part, in the game in San Jose, did a great job of marking us out of that. We struggled against them in San Jose, but I thought the first 30 minutes here last night, we were excellent, keeping the ball, and they really didn't have a lot of answers until they shoved one more player forward in our buildup, and that's when we struggled to kind of figure out that we had more space wide, and that took us a little while until we came out of the break after the long delay. And then you saw Franco Escobar getting the ball, and we kind of dominated their right, our right side, their left side. So I was impressed with the adjustments for both coaches, to be honest, from Luchi Gonzalez, from Ben Olsen. It was a very interesting, we haven't seen that for a while, I think in Houston. It was a very tactical match for both teams and how they handled it. And I thought both teams and both coaching staffs, you know, responded pretty well. And fortunately, we got the upper hand and we didn't let go.
He's Pat Onstad, Dynamo general manager. You know, with Quiñones and Aliyu in the lineup, it really has led to a lot of interesting possibilities. I mean, it's allowed you to bring Amin Bassi back into his natural playmaking role. I love the move from Ben Olsen, kind of Coco as kind of a hybrid, kind of wide guy coming closer to Bassi. I mean, I just think it's fascinating to see the possibilities that maybe these two young guys have helped bring you from certainly an attacking standpoint.
Yeah, 100%. And I'll go back to even the original comment we had is they're able to stretch the defense and it just opens up those pockets. Exactly what you'd said with Amin Bassi being able to come more central. I still think we're trying to figure it out when Coco's on the field and Amin and Hector and Artur and how does that work where we get a little more attack out of it. You know, one thing Coco's elite at in our league is driving with the ball and like turning in tight areas and then just driving and breaking line by dribbling. And then we've just got to figure out how are we going to be able to, while he's driving at the back four now, how can we get him to slip the right pass, get enough bodies forward that he has options rather than, you know, only having one or having to try to beat the last defender. So, but it's a work in progress. I mean, Ben has said that from day one, and he's right. This is a work in progress, but, you know, we're progressing and we're moving in the right direction this year, which is really nice to see.
Yeah, that's a reminder to everybody. They did it last night without Coco Carrasquilla, who was voted best 11 in the Nations League. So congratulations to him. All right, so let's go back to what is the axis of this team. You made an unbelievable signing in Artur. This guy has been magnificent. He is so much fun to watch. He's smooth. He can get out of trouble. And you connect him with Hector. And, I mean, you got one heck of an axis there. And this is, you know, there's been a lot of great performances, but I think the way these two guys move, operate, kind of become the controllers of this team, it enables others to excel. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's not like Artur. I have great familiarity with Artur since he's been in the league. I've seen him in Columbus. You know, Asher Mendelson, our technical director, and Greg Berhalter signed him when we were in Columbus, when I was on the coaching staff there. So, he's also played with a fantastic other, probably one of the best in the league in central midfield, and Darlington Nagbe, who's a possession-based player. So the nice thing is we knew Artur would really help bring out the best in Hector, because he'd be willing to get the ball under pressure and also be willing to pass to a central midfielder under pressure. A lot of guys in our league, I think, who are in that position are afraid to give other central midfielders passes under pressure. But Hector's, you know, he's more than comfortable playing that way. You know, Darlington Nagbe was too in Columbus. So I think for Artur, it's been a perfect fit. You know, it's difficult. Obviously, his wife's from Columbus, so it's hard for him to move. And the adjustment, I think, took a little time. But for him now, he's loving it. It's a new lease on life for him in his career. And you can see he's been, you know, I would say arguably probably our best player so far this season. I mean, Hector's been pretty darn good too. But it's nice to see a guy like that thrive. And you couldn't happen to a better human being either.
Yeah, he's silently just done it game in and game out. So let's go to Hector Herrera, because I think one of the big questions, and I remember asking you this, how engaged is he going to be in 2023? We've gotten the answer. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
He's working every guy. He involves people in really small situations, if you're watching closely, to engage his entire team. You know, talk to me a little bit about Hector this year, the difference. Obviously, the World Cup thing, well, we don't have to go into that because that was a big focus of his. But he's worth the price of admission alone, in my opinion.
No,
it's just so much fun.
He's fun to watch. Listen, he's fun to watch at training, too. So he's a pretty special player. He's obviously played at very high levels his entire career. But I think the big thing for him to wrap his head around was to embrace what MLS is. And the reality of MLS is you have players like Hector Herrera, who makes a lot of money, has played at a very high level, and he's playing against guys like Thor Ulfarsson, who's been drafted out of college and has gone a different route through Iceland and then to Duke University. Like that's something you have to embrace as a, you know, Lionel Messi will have to do that when he comes to Miami. I think it's sometimes guys don't take it the right way. Some take it on as like, well, these guys are below me and I'm not going to help them. And other guys, you know, wrap their arms around the challenge. And I think this year, Hector has figured out how to do that and how to improve the group around him and accept, like, this is what our league is about. And how can you get the most out of each and every player? And I think he's done a fantastic job of that.
Pat, have you had to maybe talk him through that a little bit and help him to kind of comprehend? I mean, because look, it's like getting thrown in the deep end. You're coming from Atletico Madrid, and that's no disrespect, but it is a unique league.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fortunate. Like, I'm the one who really went over and kind of met him and his family and his agent and spent some time in Madrid with him. And he took a chance on the project because of myself and Asher Mendelson. I mean, there's no way kind of beating around it. So at the same token, hold him responsible and accountable. You know, I made a lot of promises to him and where I wanted this group to go in this team, and where I feel this club can be in this city. And so, you know, he holds me accountable to the point where he comes in and pinches my belly now once in a while and says, you got to lose some weight. So same thing. We have a good relationship. Let's put it that way. But I think that the big thing is, you know, we challenge each other, and he challenges our group. And at the same time, he's all in. He wants to see this club. I don't want to say get back to, but become very relevant in this market and become a hot ticket, a group that people want to get behind. And I think we're on the path to that. We still have a long ways to go, but he's a big piece of that.
Pat Onstad, the Dynamo general manager. So let me carry on off of what you just said. You know, I'm getting the sense coming back, there is disappointment that aren't more people at games enjoying this quality football and star quality that's at the stadium. The revival of the club is one competitively, which you're very responsible for. The other side of it is, where do we become more relevant back in the city? And it's been a long time. It's been since 2014. We know that. Thoughts on that from your end of it?
Yeah,
because I know these guys want to play in front of fans.
Yeah,
they don't want to play
in front of packed houses. I still think the irony is even last night when there was probably about 1,500 people who stayed around at, 11 o'clock kickoff for the last 30 minutes, it still has a really good atmosphere. And our group of fans are behind us. So that's the people that are in the building are the people that we embrace. We love them. We want to bring more people in the building. And I know they do a good job, too, of trying to sell our team and bring their friends and families to come watch the game. But, yeah, the irony is we're playing really well at home. I think we're 7-1-1 in the league at home. We're an exciting team to watch at home. I think we're almost 2 goals per game. And I don't know, what is it? It's minuscule now. What, 3 goals in 9 games we've given up or something like that? So we're a pretty exciting team to watch. We win at home, but we just haven't seen the fans come out as much as we would like. So we're hoping that changes. And I know our front office has made a lot of changes to try to help us with that. But I think for us, what we can control in this building here at HSP is that we put the best product on the field and we win games. And again, this goes back to ultimately what I'm in this for is for us is to make the playoffs. If we become a relevant team that's in the playoffs each and every year, we'll be in championship talk. We'll win some trophies here if we get a chance to be in the playoffs every year.
Dynamo general manager Pat Onstad joining us. You remember watching him in goal, one of the great goalkeepers in all of Major League Soccer. One thing I know about Pat that others doesn't is his name is on a plaque in Rochester when he played for Rochester on the side of the stadium, which I read one time when I was there calling a women's national team.
I didn't know that. There you go.
When I look at that, though.
My wife maybe had a can of spray paint or something. That's just great. That's great. It's perfect.
No, but, when I looked at that sign, I said to myself, here is someone that has just, rose as the sport has risen. I mean, that was the top of the game back then. There was not a lot of other places maybe you could have went. And
no,
it's all part of the growth, right?
Yeah, but it's also part of the experience. And, I for whatever happens here, I'm loving the journey. There's like last year was difficult. Going to Vancouver, my hometown. And by the way, I think while I was with Columbus or here, I've lost in Vancouver almost every time. I don't know if I can go back again. I mean, it's heart wrenching every time I go there. But the pain and all that is I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's the journey of where I was as a player to get to see where the league's at now. To be, shoulder to shoulder with a Hector Herrera. To go, like, for example, I just crossed the street today and caught the tail end of the Mexican, they were just hopping on the bus, and Jaime Lozano is the Mexican national team coach, and he hops off the bus, and we give each other a big hug and quickly catch up, and it's just great experiences. I'm very fortunate to be in this wonderful game of soccer, and it is a small community, and to your point, there you are in Rochester, New York, calling a women's national team game, and there's some you're like, oh, I know that guy's name. It's a wonderful game. It brings everyone together. A wonderful game.
All right. You mentioned Greg Berhalter. The coaching tree is extended into Texas with you here at the Dynamo, with Asher, Josh Wolf up in Austin, Estevez in Dallas. I mean, I was sitting here the other day thinking, wow, that's pretty incredible. What is it about Greg Berhalter?
He's very detail oriented. I know for me, as a coach, it was eye opening to work with him. The amount of detail and the time and energy he takes to prepare teams is amazing, incredible, incredible work rate. And I think, you know, this is my personal opinion. Some people probably won't agree with me because I've seen some of the Instagrams and the posts out there, but you know, he did a fantastic job with that group of players. That's a young group. He took them to fantastic heights in the World Cup. I'm sure we all want to see U.S. eventually host a World Cup. And that's difficult to do, but at the same token, I thought he was very successful. So take all the other stuff aside. I'm not making any judgments on that. I know Greg is a human being, and I know his wife is a human being, and they're wonderful people, and they have a wonderful relationship. I can safely say that and say it strongly. But on the soccer side, I don't think there's a better coach to try to lead this country going forward for the next 4 years.
When you saw what he was going through, and we're not going to get heavy deep into this, but yeah. But I felt incredibly sorry for him that he had to go through getting dragged around like that. That bothered me, actually.
Yeah, and I don't think I really want to get into personal stuff. I agree with you. What I think bothered me more than anything is the way he got smeared for the performance of the team. I thought the team had a fantastic World Cup.
Yeah.
Bottom line, that if we're expecting that team to be a World Cup winner, then I think we're kind of kidding ourselves. Now, this next 4 years, you know, these guys' experiences, finding a forward now, it looks like, I think this group, there should be higher expectations. And I think Greg will be the first one to say, I expect to do better than I did last time. And we should do that as a group. But that's a very good team. Obviously, he'll have to figure out some, you know, some of the players, but that's every coach and every team to mend bridges and you know, make these connections. But for me, he's the guy that should be leading this group. And then when, you know, we'll see how it goes at the end of that. And at that stage, you make another decision. But I think it was the right call by U.S. Soccer to bring him forward. I would say I didn't have it on my bingo card at this stage. I thought maybe the time after 6 months that they were going to move on. But I think it's the right guy to move forward with this group of players.
For me, one thing stuck out. That was the most progressive U.S. team I've ever seen at a World Cup, as far as taking the game to an opponent, not sitting back, defending in lower blocks, depending on all these great goalkeepers we've had in history, whether it's Keller, Howard. I just thought, you know, the winning of midfield against England, that was a big win to me. I mean, I just wanted it punctuated with a winning goal, but I don't think we've ever seen a World Cup team from the U.S. play like that.
No, and I think that's it's a credit to Greg and the players. So I mean, obviously, it's the players in the end. Coach is a guide. So Greg will even tell you that. I mean, it's the players that are doing it. But I think it's a big credit to where this sport has come. You know, this sport in this country has grown by leaps and bounds from the Rochester Rhinos up to MLS. And this is where our league is going, and it's only getting better. The players that we're bringing and attracting to this league, you know, World Cup winner in Atlanta, and now World Cup captain and champion coming to our league. It's an exciting time to be a part of this league and part of this sport. And I'm really excited about the national team to see how far they can go. It's nice in the region that there's really now three powerhouses. That Canada seems to have stepped up, although I'll be a little disappointed in the final. But in the end, they're a good team, and they're a team to reckon with as well in our region. So this is an exciting time to be a part of soccer here in the U.S.
Last one before I let you go. You made a big decision. The Dynamo and Dash, you know, youth setup is going to go away. I know you did the same type of thing in Columbus. This is hopefully going to create a better relationship with the youth community. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. I would like to expand a little more. I think we're not as far along as we'd hoped as a club to be able to kind of roll out some programs that we'd like to be implementing. I think the biggest thing is we don't want to be in competition with the youth clubs in the region. That was the message. It wasn't a knock on DDY. You know, I think they were a good partner for the years that we were with them. But for us, it's important for us to be seen as the professional team in the city, and the professional teams, plural with the dash, in the city, rather than a competitor where, some 11-year-old parent is saying, well, my kid's playing for the Dynamo, and someone else in another club is saying, well, you just took them out of our market, and they're not. They're playing for our club team. So I think that message. We want to make sure that's out there, that we're not in that business. We're in the business of developing, trying to develop professional players, and that is what our academy is supposed to do. I think we're still working hard on that to try to produce more and more. So we're trying to get in the youth game now, in the sense that we want to be there to support youth clubs. If they say we need, you know, we'd like help with trying to educate our parents. You know, small clubs says we need them to get their e-licenses so they can run better training sessions. We need to try to be able to be a resource for them. Can we run those? Can we help them get their parents educated, and vice versa? If it's a top club, and there are some great clubs in the city that produce fantastic players, but say they have a top player, we want them to say, you know what, we'd like to push them to the academy, and we need to be able to acknowledge that that club has produced this player. You know, I don't know what form that's in. I think you're getting into my speech here a little bit, but whatever form that is, maybe it's a scholarship back to the club. Maybe it's just recognition at a game. I don't know what the solution is, but the big one is that we want to be able to try to attract the best players in the region and give everyone credit that's helped build these kids to get the opportunity to become a professional soccer player.
Pat, does it get to a point where it's compensation?
Sometimes, yeah. We're not.
In the form of dollars.
Yeah, no, 100%. Where it's not, I don't know what the solution is, but I don't think that's out of the realm at all. I don't think that's out of the realm at all. I mean, everything for us right now is on the table. But what we want to do is be a resource in a club that people, all the other youth clubs in the city look up to and say, you know, they treated us well. And I felt like that was fair. Some people, it may be like that, like you said. Others might be more recognition, might be support in terms of from coaching, or I don't know, or helping build fields or whatever it is. I don't know what the solution is. But I think each one is individual as well, each club. So that's which takes some time and takes some manpower from our side to make sure that we're out there talking to people and making sure we're getting the right programs in place.
Well, Pat, that's music to my ears, but I'm sure it's music to a lot of people in the Houston soccer community. It's great stuff. Thank you so much, as always, for coming on. This is a great catch up. We need to do this again in a couple weeks down the road, and tremendous information for your fan base, and always your candid nature is very much appreciated.
Thanks for having me on, Glenn. It's been a while, so thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.